Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, Grateful Living. Here's Ron Thompson with our scripture reading.
Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Ephesians. The author of Ephesians is Paul, and these were the first epistles or letters that he wrote while he was in prison in Rome. This was a very broad in its intent. It was meant for the faithful in Christ Jesus anywhere, not for any particular church, but for the church in all of its largest sense. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word of the God for the people of God.
I appreciate the way that Ron set up the text before reading today, especially because he was astute enough to point out that the words from Ephesians are not limited to a specific place, a specific church, or a specific time, but rather they are eternal, so to speak, appropriate words for each of us seeking to figure out how to live a life of faith in our own time and in our own place. So thank you for that, Ron. On January the 2nd, 1996, Oprah Winfrey sat down with a group of spiritual leaders for a conversation about navigating difficult and challenging times. The conversation meandered with the different guests based on their personal and professional areas of expertise. Maya Angelou talked with Oprah about the O.J. Simpson trial. Those of you under 30 may not remember that, but our country was taken by it. She talked about the Million Man March and the racism that the two women agreed was dividing our country in 1996. Stephen Covey, the second guest, described how money had driven the film and entertainment industry over the cliff, he said, of morality and decency, as he expressed his longing for a sense of accountability and integrity with what consumers could find on their TV screens, a place where most Americans spent about 2 hours a day, 1996. And the third guest, Marianne Williamson, spoke about her refusal to believe that there was nothing to be done to change the 1990s epidemics of AIDS and cancer and drug addiction and violence. In response, Williamson calls all people of faith to a life of prayer, trusting that God would intervene. Listening to their conversations today, as featured on Oprah's Super Soul podcast, one might easily forget that those conversations were recorded nearly 30 years ago. The ills of society, the evils threatening humanity's well-being, seemed eerily similar to those with which we struggle today. Racism, sensationalism, and an overwhelming lack of faith that God can do anything about it. The solutions they offered, gratitude, integrity, and faith, seemed even more time-worn than the problems themselves. In a sense, Oprah's experts had to offer something that sounded a lot like a 20th century adaptation of the first century letter to the Ephesians. As the author, who we presume was Paul, writes to the early church, he urges them to make the most of their time, indicating that Paul himself thought their time on this earth would be short. It wouldn't have been strange or rare for him to hold that belief, because most of the early Christians really did believe that Jesus would return in their lifetime. And so as we read the words from Paul, we see a sense of urgency around their mission. And it comes through in today's text. Make the most of your time. Time is precious. Avoid foolishness and use your time wisely by praising God, by singing holy songs, spiritual songs, and most importantly, by giving thanks. In every moment. For there's no time to dwell on anything else when time is short. Like Oprah's panel of spiritual leaders, the author of this ancient letter also concludes that the times were full of discord and discontent, full of struggle. The days are evil, he warns, before offering a pathway forward. You know, thinking back on human history, remembering the stories that we learned in school, remembering those that we read about in books, and the stories that were passed down in our family histories, those oral traditions that happen around the tables. It does seem kind of like every moment from the first century to the 21st century has some kind of evil with which we struggle. Some are more long-lasting than others, but each moment in history has its own interpretation of Paul's words, the days are evil. In our history, we have struggled with illness and plague, famine and frost. We have experienced the evils of war, poverty, injustice, and greed. We have endured economic depression and recession. We have suffered losses in great numbers. We continue to struggle with the COVID-19 pandemic, a struggle that at times feels like it will never go away. And at the same time, we struggle with other pandemics that never seem to go away. Housing crises, healthcare, and food for our neighbors. We struggle to understand one another across lines of difference. Whether those differences are rooted in politics or economics or ethics or semantics, we can all make a list of the reasons our days are evil, can we not? And so perhaps the ancient words from that first century pen still apply to our 21st century lives, and maybe even to our 21st century church. Be careful how you live. Make the most of your time, implied time is short. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Sing hymns and spiritual songs. Give thanks at all times for everything in the name of God. Now, I need to say, biblical Greek and biblical Hebrew are notoriously difficult to translate, especially when it comes to prepositions and punctuation. And as one of my seminary professors used to say, all translation is interpretation. Every choice matters. I'm reminded of this as I read the last line of today's scripture, which says, give thanks at all times and for everything in the name of God. Now, some preachers would happily stand here and interpret or translate the line in exactly this way. Give thanks for everything. And I can understand giving thanks at all times, the first part of that sentence. Most of the time, there is something to be grateful for after all, even if it is something as simple as the air which fills my lungs when I take a deep breath in. But giving thanks for everything, that doesn't sit as well. Are we to give thanks for COVID? Are we to give thanks for injustice? Are we to give thanks for the things that make our lives more challenging? Are we to give thanks for the evil which plagues our days? Another way to read that same line, to translate the Greek, is to place the word in instead of for. It's the same word in the ancient language. So let's try it that way. Give thanks in all things. Give thanks at all times and in everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said some preachers would stand up here and say to give thanks for everything, and that is a legitimate way to translate the text. But today, in the midst of all the news, in the midst of our resurgence in COVID, to give thanks in everything seems to strike the right tone. Giving God thanks in all things makes gratitude a spiritual discipline, a faithful practice that moves our focus from all that is evil, all that is wrong, all that is challenging, to all that is good, and all that is holy, and all that is right. Giving thanks in all things reorients our lives away from the evil and away from the struggle at hand, and allows us to see and to claim that God is at work in our midst. In the Super Soul episode, Maya Angelou remembers a time in which Oprah called her in the middle of the night. Can you imagine having Maya Angelou on speed dial? Oprah calls her in the middle of the night, totally distraught and hopeless and stressed out. The evils of the day, so to speak, had worn her down. And in that situation, Angelou spoke words of wisdom to her hopelessness. "Stop," she said, interrupting Oprah's narrative, which was unfolding on the other end of the line. "Stop," Angelou said. "First, you thank God, because it shows that you have the faith that God is there and that God can intervene. First, you thank God because it shows you have the faith that God is there and that God can intervene. Stop and give thanks." We thank God in all things because we want to show we have the faith that God is there and that God can intervene. From the midst of her crisis, in the throes of the struggle, Winfrey had not yet considered gratitude to be a viable option. Give thanks? For what? For racism? For injustice? For discrimination, for hatred, for sensationalism and vulgarity? Give thanks for the evil days in which we live? But what Angelou offered was something different. It was nuanced. It was faithful and stubbornly resistant to the evils that threatened Winfrey that night. "Stop," she said, "and give thanks, because it shows that you have the faith to trust that God is there." Later in the same podcast episode, Winfrey has yet another superstar on speed dial, it seems. She talks with her friend Marianne Williamson, who is a very well-known spiritual thinker and writer and teacher. And the two discuss many of the same themes that Oprah had discussed with her other guests that day: racism, division, discord, struggle. Remember, this is not today. This is 1996. And as she speaks, Williamson bravely names the epidemics of her day: AIDS and cancer and drug addiction and violence. And she recognizes that many are waiting for science. Many are waiting for somebody else to come up with the intervention that would provide a path forward, a way to life, a light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, for all those who were dying of these terrible diseases. Into that chaos, she asks the question, have we prayed for God to bring an end? Have we prayed for God to stop this evil, to provide a cure for these diseases, to end these terrible pandemics? Are we, people of faith, praying in God's name for our own liberation and struggle to end? For our own liberation to come and for the struggle to end? Are we praying in God's name, trusting that God is there, listening, hearing, ready to intervene? It seems sometimes that more people are sure the pandemic is going to kill us than they are that God is going to intervene. As Williamson goes on, she describes her deep conviction that people like you and I, are called to be the mouthpiece of God in this world. The bearers of hope, the tellers of truth, the voice of God that cries out in the midst of chaos and struggle and despair that there can indeed be another way. We talk a lot about being the hands and the feet of God, but Williamson says we also need to be the mouthpiece of God, declaring boldly there is a way of health, there is a way of healing, a way of wholeness. There is a day when our struggles with evil, whatever that evil may be, will come to an end. There is a way to confront our struggles with courageous prayers that first recognize that God is there and give God thanks for God's own presence and then boldly ask for God to intervene around us, among us, and perhaps even through us, to bring an end to the foolishness. Stop. First we have to pray, Angelou said. First we have to give God thanks because it shows that we have the faith that God is there and that God can intervene. When I was growing up, my Sunday school teachers and youth group volunteers, they always stressed the importance of taking a little magazine that had a devotion in it, reading a few words from scripture, and then spending time in prayer. They called it a quiet time. I don't know how many of you grew up with that tradition being instilled at a young age. Just 10 minutes every morning, they would say, to sit with God, to read, to write, to listen. As an adult, I no longer call it a quiet time. I use different words like spiritual practice, or centering prayer, morning ritual, or rule of life. But whatever we may call that time in different seasons of life, the timeless truth is that when our days are rooted in courageous prayer, prayer that bravely and boldly says to all the storms and all the pandemics and all the struggles that rage in our lives, stop. First, we have to pray. Stop. First, we have to give God thanks because it shows we know that God is there. No matter what we want to call it, so much is possible if we begin and root our lives in a practice of courageous prayer. The words were written a long time ago, a long, long time ago. But there are a lot of ways that we can relate to the Ephesians when we read those words, the days are evil. At first glance, that seemed like the phrase that was the least relatable to me when I read the text for today. But as I sat with it for a minute, I began to think, the days are evil. There is the Delta variant. There is so much violence and war. There is climate change. There is ambivalence. There is worry. There is fear. There is division. There is discord. There is depression and loneliness, anxiety and isolation. But if we could just regain that sense of urgency, which is also in the text, reminding us not to waste a single moment, but instead to sing spiritual songs and to give God thanks in every moment and in all things. I wonder if God might begin to work through us to create a different kind of day, a different kind of society, a different kind of reality, one that perhaps looks like the kingdom of God more than the kingdoms of chaos and struggle and evil. And then I also wonder if together, collectively, we, the church, the body of Christ, might also find the courage to speak boldly to the storms and struggles of our days, to use our collective mouthpiece to be the voice of God. What kind of world might God create through us? If we were to stand up boldly in the face of all the pandemics that we are facing today, the pandemics of racism and xenophobia, the pandemics of violence and hatred, pandemics of pride and entitlement and superiority and greed, pandemics of self-righteousness and stubbornness, pandemics of closed-mindedness and isolation, pandemics of loneliness and grief, pandemics of fear and anxiety, and the list goes on and on. What would happen if with one voice, the church, the body of Christ, cried out in the midst of all these evils and said, stop. Stop your foolishness. First, we have to pray. First, we have to give thanks because it shows that we have the faith to trust that God is there, that God sees another way, and that God can intervene. Perhaps if we could pray that way, we might be able to see a miracle of biblical proportion. Perhaps through me and through you and through us, God might begin to create something new. Who knows what's possible? Who knows what is possible when we commit ourselves to prayer and to gratitude at all times and in all things? Let's give it a try. Let's pray. Loving God, we come to you this day feeling the threat of so many evils that seem to encroach on every side. Pandemics that go by many names, spoken and unspoken, rage around us and within us, like the violent winds and rains of a summer storm. It is tempting at times to shrink down, allowing these storms to overwhelm us with a sense of hopelessness and despair, but you have not called us to a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of courage. You have called us to live our days with boldness and resilient gratitude that insists you are there, that insists that you care, and that persistently reminds us that you will intervene. So God, we give thanks today for all that is and in all that is. We give thanks today in the midst of our struggles, in the middle of our storms. We give thanks for your presence among us, for your presence around us, and for your presence within us. And in our gratitude, we stubbornly cling to the promise that you will see us through, and that you will use us to be not only your hands and your feet, but also your voice, calling an end to all the foolishness of our days and boldly proclaiming that there is indeed another way, the way of love, the way of compassion, the way of wholeness and healing, the way of liberation and justice, the way of faith, the way of hope, the way of Christ. Oh, that we might give thanks and proclaim this truth at all times and in all things. Amen.